Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Training Camp 2020 Locked and Loaded is presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
All right. Tuesday morning. Good morning. Let's get right to it. What has Mark said over the years? I'm a sore loser.
No.
No, I'm a good loser, but I'm a bad winner.
I'm a bad winner.
You're a bad winner.
I'm a bad winner.
You're a bad winner. Well, I think you're kind of a sore loser, too.
How so? I'm not a sore loser.
Not sore, but you...
I take
you begrudgingly.
Defeat.
You begrudgingly.
No, I
accept
take
defeat.
I take defeat with great grace. It's just that I don't ever take it. I mean,
oh really?
Hardly ever.
What about when we do? Tell me why I'm wrong. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow.
How many times have I been wrong?
Well,
almost never.
Well, that I would say is more a byproduct of you refusing to. Admit defeat.
No, that's not, that has nothing to do with it. Most of the people that come after me are dumb. and so.
Okay.
I don't know what we should, you know, we don't usually take live callers. So I'm not suggesting that we kick the live lines. I'm not suggesting.
No, God, please, no!
We do that, but I will, be graciously accepting apologies all day long.
Here we go. All right, here it is. Let us get it over with. Without further ado, Mark Schlereth, I told you so moment. Go ahead.
You know, you are all giddy about the speed and athleticism and look how fast we can run. And look, Stink, we run as fast as the Kansas City Chiefs. We're winning everything. Look, why won't you accept the fact that just because we can run, that means we're a really good football team? Why don't you accept the fact? Why don't you praise Elway? Why don't you? All right, here we go. Here we go. I don't care how fast you run. If you can't block people, you cannot win. End of story. And, you know, and I get the opting out. I understand the concerns. I get all of those things. But you did not plan for your franchise's future, and you're going to pay for it. You knew going into this year, in the richest wide receiver class in the history of the NFL draft, spoken by many draft experts, you decided to go Jerry Jeudy in the first round, and then you decided to get a 5'3", 112-pound slot guy in the second round. When there were ample offensive tackles available, and all I heard from Dove Valley was, well, we didn't think those guys were ready to come in and compete and start. Doesn't matter. Because you need depth there. You need to build an offensive line. And oh, by the way, even though you hadn't announced it yet, you knew you weren't picking up the fifth-year option on Garrett Bowles because he's not good. I don't care what he did in the last five games. If you put on the film, he still wasn't good. All right, so he eliminated some of his holding calls. He still wasn't good. And Juwan James doesn't play unless he's 100%.
All right, well, that's the part of it I want to get
to
next.
Wait, one more thing.
Oh, yeah, because he's not done.
And Elijah Alexander, you knew, had a foot problem.
That'd be Elijah Wilkinson.
Same thing, doesn't matter. He has a foot problem. All the Elijahs do.
Yes.
They always have.
It's running rampant among the Elijahs.
It's like Oedipus. They all have foot problems. And here's the deal with that. The deal with that is you knew going in. And oh, by the way, you watched him play last year, and you know he's not a starter. And I'm not bagging on swing tackles because swing tackles are valuable. You need them. But the reason they're swing tackles, Mike, you know why they're swing tackles? Because they're not good enough to start.
Do you mentioned he's a 100% guy. That was the word on him coming out of Miami when the Broncos signed him to the richest contract ever given to a right tackle. that he was a guy that played to the whistle, and that was about it. Not even to the whistle. He had kind of a clock in his head, mm-hmm. and he played for those certain amount of seconds, and that was pretty much it. And then we saw last year, this is a 100% guy. You know, even when he was medically cleared to play by all the Bronco trainers, doctors, you know, he still wasn't ready. It led to the now famous Vic Fangio, you know, he's just not mentally ready. This is a slippery, tricky wicket here, if you will. Do you accept 100% his reasons for opting out, or is there part of you that thinks this is a guy who's just kind of looking for an excuse not to play football and still get paid?
Well, I do think it's tricky, and I would tell you that, one, what he signed. He signed a $52 million four-year deal, but 32 of it was fully guaranteed, I believe. So, I mean, he made multi-generational money. All right? He's a guy that many people said, listen, he's a super talented guy. There is no question. We saw him when he played that Houston game, you know, the 30 snaps or whatever he played in that Houston game. How exceptionally talented the guy is. There's no question about his talent. But, you know, the question was, will he play beyond the whistle? Will he play when he doesn't feel 100%? I mean, he missed half the season in Miami in 2017 because his hamstring, he had a sore hamstring. I mean, I've never heard, that's the first time I've ever heard, it may have happened before, but an offensive lineman missing, you know, 8 weeks with a hamstring. Most of us are too fat to run fast enough to hurt our hamstrings. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what that injury was either, but there's a reason that the Miami Dolphins didn't pick up his fifth-year option. That sorry franchise didn't pick up his fifth-year option. But here's the kind of final nail in the coffin that says, I don't feel like the organization treated me right. And if you look at his, you know, statement that he put out about the coronavirus, why he's opting out, all these different things, there's one thing that really resonated with me, and I just have to find it here.
The false narrative comment?
I know you don't know me well. He's talking to the fans of Denver. And the false narrative that was painted of me last year due to comments made about my injury. But I have invested in the city and my team. I have told you on this program several times that the thing that concerns me about Vic are some of the things that Vic says that you cannot say. We had this conversation, 2 days ago or Friday? Or I don't know if it was yesterday.
Yesterday.
And you were like, well, I kind of like
the honesty, yeah.
Kind of like right. That. And I'm saying there's certain things you can be honest behind closed doors, but you cannot do it. You cannot splay a guy out in public. You can't say that he's emotionally unready to play. He's been cleared by every. You cannot say that publicly. There are certain things that you did last year. You cannot criticize Vaughn Miller, who has done nothing but hang pelts on the wall, and then praise Garrett Bowles, who's done nothing but tackle people. Because that permeates your locker room and it makes guys not trust you. And you cannot tell me reading this letter that there isn't a trust issue from this guy, whether you like him or not.
Well, yes, but how credible is he to say that there's a trust issue in that locker room? Oh, is he a credible source to say, well, this is how everyone else feels? I mean, it's the guy who many of us thinks doesn't really have a passion for football. So should he be the one that we should be pointing to as, well, there's proof that Vic Fangio has a trust problem inside that locker room. Let's talk about that more coming up. Right. We'll do that. Also, did the final piece of the Rockies juggernaut, I mean, do we have to start calling it that, click into place last night? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Well, apparently, whatever disappointment, anger, frustration you as a fan may have with Juwan James doesn't come close to your reacting to Mark telling you that he told you so. On the RamosLaw.com text line, a little sampling.
Mm-hmm.
From Sean, give it a break, stink. James didn't play at all last year. He was a nobody. Didn't even come into the equation. You didn't want to draft a new right tackle. You wanted a left tackle, idiot. The right tackle that just opted out was in a brand new contract. I like this one. Good thing you are entertaining, because you are an unbearable tool, stink. Oh, this is mean. Now, this is just mean. This goes way below the belt.
Okay.
God, Mark sounds like D-Mac with quarterbacks.
Wow, that is way below the belt.
I knew Stinky's I Told You So tour was going to be brutal, but please don't make it the whole show. I love this. What else? What else? What else? Oh, from Mark. Give me a break, Mark. Juwan James is a crybaby. I'm glad Vic called him out. We live in a snowflake era. Nobody can handle the truth.
Oh, no. See, that's stupid. Again, that is dumb. You can handle the truth. This is no different than when I was playing. You can handle the truth behind closed doors. You wanna close the doors and eviscerate me, or in front of a team meeting. You wanna close the doors and do that? That's fine. That is absolutely a-okay. One of the greatest meetings I was ever a part of in my entire life. I'll tell you. Team meeting. I'm with the Skins. Special teams meeting. We lose whoever. I don't remember. Our special
rookie
team.
Year, second year,
fourth year.
Okay.
Something
right.
Like
you've
that.
Been a while. You've been around for a while. Okay.
So we sit in there. Our special teams coach is Wayne Sevier. God rest his soul. Great special teams coach. Great man. He gets in, and he is literally standing in front of the team, almost in tears, and he says. He starts the meeting by going, this is how he taught, I don't take the Lord's name in vain, but I'll say, bleep, 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 bleep. And then he goes, Kirk Gavea, you could kick my ass. He's looking around the room. He goes, Brian Mitchell, you could kick my ass. And then he goes, Raven Caldwell, you could kick my ass. He goes, but you, blankety blank, I think I could kick your ass because you're nothing more than a P word. Get up here, right? I mean, in front of the entire team. That's how it went. Did he come out to the media and say, hey, this particular guy on special teams lost it for us because he's a straight P? No. Because you can't do it. It can't be done. And when you do it, it ruins your credibility within the locker room, regardless of who that guy is. And in the same voice or the same breath, if you're calling that guy out, you're saying Juwan James isn't tough enough to play for us. Juwan James has been cleared medically, but he doesn't mentally. He can't clear that hurdle, and he's not tough enough, and he is, you know, straight up a sissy. In the same breath, you say, boy, Garrett Bowles is really getting it done. You have lost 100. Listen to me now. Listen to me clearly. 100%. Of your critique, like you've lost 100% of your credibility when it comes to critiquing players inside that locker room. 100%.
Let me counter that, because I got a story of my own.
Great.
All right. Early 90s, I'm right out of college, and I'm working in the Boston area, and I'm covering Patriots training camp. I'm covering the Patriots. Bill Parcells.
Yeah.
What a treat that was to cover him.
Sure.
Learned so much about football.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a rookie wide receiver named Terry Glenn.
Yes.
From Ohio State.
Remember it well.
Very talented. And he had missed a good chunk of training camp
mm-hmm.
with a hamstring injury. So it is one of those days of training camp, and it's, you know, time for the coach's press conference. And, you know, of course, the question comes up, hey, Bill, how's Terry Glenn doing? He pauses, and dramatic pause, and he says, oh, she's doing fine.
Right.
I mean, that goes 100% against what you just
right.
said you can't do. But that was Bill Parcells.
Right.
He seemed to do okay.
Yeah.
His reputation, his ability to coach and connect with players mm-hmm. seemed to be unaffected by that, because my guess is he had enough of a good read of that room to understand that there were enough other players frustrated by what they were seeing with Terry Glenn that they had no problem with the nuclear option of putting it out there, hanging the dirty laundry. I would think that, now you tell me if I'm wrong, I would think that a coach only goes to that extreme if they've already tried to do it behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still not working. And now you're left with, well, let's try to shame right. him publicly, and maybe somehow that'll embarrass him enough to get out there.
Still, like, it's a bad comparison, because you're talking about Bill Parcells, two-time Super Bowl champion with the Giants, who used to bring a couple of his guys along that would basically be filters between Bill and the rest of the team. Pepper Johnson always played on his team. Steve DiAssi always played on his team. He always had a couple of those guys that followed him around that could basically, like, quell the uprising. You know, that, because that's who Bill Parcells was, and because he won those championships. Vic Fangio doesn't have championship, like, he does not, he's not a Super Bowl winning champion coach in multiple situations.
But he's been around the league for 30 years.
He's been around,
credibility.
Sure, he's got credibility. He's a great defensive coordinator, but again, a different era too, right? Different time too. You understand that. But still, there's still, and when he said that, did I laugh? I was playing at the time. I remember it. Did I laugh? Yeah. Did I also think, you can't do that? That's wrong.
Oh, okay. So you thought the same thing?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I thought it was funny. Of course I thought it was funny. But, you know, it's a bad road to go down when you start publicly calling players out. And it just doesn't, it just ruins your credibility. And it's one thing to call a player out, but it's another thing to praise a player that's playing like garbage and nobody, and inside the locker room, his own teammates don't respect his game.
Tackled by Bowles.
All right, coming up, we got the morning brew for you. And keep those texts coming in. They're very entertaining. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying them.
Mike loves that.
Rommelslaw.com text line 303-713-1043. I don't even have to do much wedge driving. You just, you know, Mark's just, you know, he's splayed out in front of you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, have at it. But we got the morning brew for you, and the Rockies do it again. Observations from their win last night, including, are they picking the right guy to be the new closer? And can Michael Porter Jr. be the Nuggets' third guy during these upcoming playoffs? That's all next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your morning brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep lightning, and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. There's some serious gourmet shit.
Let's get it on.
Well, that's all dependent upon Juwan. You know, he's cleared to play, but we got to get him ready to play. You know, he's got to get mentally ready to play, emotionally ready to play, and be able to go out there and play good, not just go out there. So that's part of that equation.
Well, there you go. That was the now infamous quote from Vic Fangio that I believe 100% Juwan James covered in his statement yesterday, where he said, quote, I know you don't know me well, and a false narrative was painted of me last year due to comments made about my injury. So when you look at all the reasons why Juwan James is deciding to opt out, how much of it do you think is he wants to stick it to Vic Fangio?
I don't think that's it. Like, I don't want to stick it to Big Fan Show.
Is it part of it, though? Did it have an influence? Come on, it had to have an influence.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think you sit there and go, I'll show them. But I do think, why am I going to go out here and sacrifice coronavirus, injury, everything else for an organization that doesn't truly respect me? That basically said that I wasn't emotionally or physically tough enough to play, even though I was cleared. Because that's, as a player, listen, if anybody said that about me as a player, I'd want to fight you. It pissed me off.
Yeah, but you'd also, well, wait, but hold on a second. You would never have the same mentality that Juwan James had and has been accused of even before he got to Denver.
Well, correct. But if anybody ever said it, those are fighting words. Let me tell you this, Mike. I'll give you a perfect scenario. Why was Drew Locke not played earlier?
Because they didn't think he was ready.
Right. They didn't think he was ready. Did they give any specifics on that?
No.
No. Oh, that, you know what? It's the right way to handle it. He hasn't practiced. He's not ready. Now, that big armband that he wore would be an indication that he couldn't spit out the plays in the West Coast offense. He was struggling with calling the plays. That's understandable. There's so much verbiage in that. That's understandable. There's so many formations, so many motions, so many shifts. That's understandable, right? So he wasn't ready. Now, if they came out and said, hey, listen, Drew Locke, listen, he had this all this time to be on the sideline and learn this stuff. He's just not smart enough to absorb it all. So he's not going to play for a few weeks. He's not versed enough in our offense to get it. You don't say things like that.
All right,
and that's exactly, to me, there's no difference. If they would have said that about Drew Locke, you piss off a guy, you ruin it. You don't do those things. You say, hey, he's just not ready yet. Right? Juwan James, hey man, he's been cleared to play, but he's not in football shape yet. He's not ready yet. You could leave it at that without saying, hey, emotionally, he's not ready. What you did was you essentially called him out for not being tough enough. You didn't say he wasn't tough enough. You alluded to, you insinuated that he's not tough enough. And I don't care who you are. Doing that, I said it back then. You can't do that. It's wrong. It was wrong by Vic Fangio. It was wrong by the organization to do it. And here we sit.
You almost think of it. It almost sounds like you think of Juwan James as a victim in all this.
I knew if Juwan James was coming in, so I'm not like, I don't. Do I think of him as a victim? No, I think he's got the right.
How about this? How about a sympathetic figure?
I think he probably still would opt out had he just been hurt all year and they never would have
said what they said.
Right, said what they said. But I think there is certainly, like, if you're teetering on the line right now, you're standing on that razor's edge going, should I or should I not? That one's the one that gets you over the top.
Next on the Morning Brew.
There shouldn't be a stigma if you do choose to opt out. If there is a legitimate reason for you to be opting out and you don't feel comfortable, whether it's for yourself, whether it's for your family, you're making the best decision for yourself and for your family. And if we ever get to the point where we're shaming people for dropping out of a sport because they want to protect the health of their family, then we're in a tough spot.
There's J.J. Watt. The deadline for players to opt out is coming up this Thursday. Mark, did the NFL make a mistake in making it almost too attractive to opt out? Players can make upwards of $350,000 to not play. They can still get a year of service time accrued for, you know, pension and things like that. And whatever their contract is for this year rolls over to next year. Is this almost too attractive for a lot of players to turn down?
And does it
call into question whether or not these decisions to opt out are based entirely on what's going on in the world today?
I think that you have to create a work environment. You're asking these guys to take the majority of the slings and arrows when it comes to health risks. And you have to give them an opportunity to make a decision that's best for them and best for their family. So, no, I think the majority of guys, how many guys have opted out total?
I think we're still in like the 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not many.
You're talking about, you know, with practice squads, you're talking over 2,000 players. 40 guys have decided that it doesn't make sense for them. Now, granted, most of those guys have made a lot of money. The majority of those guys have. But I think you have to give them the opportunity to walk.
Do you think we'll see a flurry between now and Thursday?
That depends on how you define a flurry. I don't think you'll be...
Will we see like another...
You'll see a handful.
Another 50?
No, I don't think that. I think you'll see another 5 or 6, 7 guys maybe. I think most guys that are in are in. They're committed. I think there's very few guys that are still standing on the fence. The guys who, you know, are committed. So I think that's kind of where we are.
Next on the Morning Brew.
High fly ball, deep left field. Take a good look. You won't see it for long. That's the Nolan we know. Giants, the Rockies are within a run. Dick shot.
So, AT&T Sportsnet there with the call. With the now very familiar tag to it.
Nolan absolutely plastered that high fastball.
Well, that's the thing. Of all the good things that were happening to the Rockies, the one thing we kept waiting for is, when's Nolan going to click in?
Yeah.
So, if he's now ready to take off, wow.
Yeah.
Look out. But the Rockies just shrugged off an early 4-1 deficit, scored 5 in the 6th, held on for a little bit of a nail-biting save from Diaz, who takes over. Jairo Diaz takes over as the closer. By the way, of all the intriguing power arms that we've seen out of the bullpen early this season, would he be your choice to go to as a closer now to replace Wade Davis? Or would you go with somebody else?
I
was thinking it was going to be Estevez. A little bit more experience.
I think, honestly, even though Estevez can run it up to 98-99, I honestly think the best off-speed stuff out of the bullpen, the best slider, the best off-speed stuff goes to Jairo Diaz.
Okay.
And I think you look at the philosophy. I heard Bud Black talking about pitching backwards and being able to set people up. Being able to kind of throw, get you in a rocking chair, you know, as a hitter, but being able to throw off speed stuff, good off speed stuff in a hitter's count. And don't add a lot. Jairo's that's a different role. That closer's role, it's going to take a little bit. You know, it's good. It takes a little bit of adjustment to get you know your mentality right, but don't look at yesterday as like Jairo's got great stuff. So I don't have any problem with him being the anointed the closer.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I love playing with Yolk. I think he's learning to like play with me just because Yolk is a facilitator first. Obviously, he took over like he was supposed to at the end of the game, but he loves passing the ball. So when I'm cutting like that, I give him a big target. I think he enjoys that.
Oh, it was sweet to watch Nikola Jokic and Michael Porter Jr. work together yesterday. Huge games for both. Jokic, ho-hum, triple-double, 30 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists. But the story here, Michael Porter Jr. Showing again the remarkable talent and potential that he has. With 37 points and 12 rebounds on 12 of 16 shooting, the issue for MPJ has always been consistency, as evidenced by the wild fluctuation of minutes that Michael Malone has given him. Malone clearly doesn't trust him.
Mm-hmm.
But Mark, now that they're in this scenario where, yeah, seeding matters, I guess. I mean, it really just comes down to, you know, in the first round, who do you want to play? Utah, Oklahoma City, or Houston? You know, but can you really manipulate that? Not probably until you get right down to the last couple of games. Can you do that? So what's more important when you're playing all these
neutral site games. We talk about this all the time. They got to find a third guy to go along with Jokic and Murray. They got to find that third guy. And whether it's Gary Harris, who it's becoming painfully obvious it won't be him, maybe Will Barton, but could it be Michael Porter Jr.? It could be, but the only chance you have of that to happen is no matter what, you got to keep running him out there over these next six games and just give him loads of minutes with the hope that he can develop that kind of consistency that you can rely upon come playoff time.
Anything about that sound that made you feel, hey, I'm Michael Porter Jr. and I'm blissfully unaware? Is there anything?
Well, over the last week, I think you've seen indications that he is young, immature, like a lot of us were at that age, and maybe, yeah, blissfully unaware, blissfully ignorant. Yeah, sure.
Because I listen to that sound and I think, hey, listen, nobody, hey, we understand you're a big target. We understand that Jokic is a facilitator. The reason that you spend so much time on the bench is because you only play one facet of the game. Like, I would much rather hear him say, yeah, offensively, you know, there was production tonight, but I have got to improve on X, Y, and
he'll
Z.
He'll get there.
Will he?
Maybe not this year, but he'll get there.
Right.
He'll get there.
I mean,
anyway, but
I have no, let me just say that I have absolutely zero, my faith that he becomes that third guy.
For this year?
For this year is slightly above the zero faith that I had in Bol Bol becoming that guy.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on a second. You know, Bol Bol is a project.
Okay, as a team, we're getting tall.
He's a project.
I understand
Porter
that.
is not a project. He is just...
I understand that he's a project, but listen, he had that game against a bunch of high school scrubs, and we had guys, Zach and D-Mac, ready to anoint him, you know, off the bench, our number one guy off the bench.
Talking about Bol Bol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I'm like, he's going to be the tall guy with really long pants sitting at the end of the
bench. You're right about that. But Porter during the season has shown flashes of this against real NBA competition.
I get that.
Okay.
I get that. So,
first coffee slurp of the day, everybody.
So he's got more in my mind. He has a bigger chance, a better chance than Bol Bol does.
Oh, of course.
But
yeah.
It's only slightly above that. If he doesn't play, I know Mike Malone well enough to know that if that guy doesn't commit to playing defense and the rotations and doing the things you have to do on that side of the floor, that he is not coming off the bench.
Well, and that's the way it should be. I do believe minutes should be earned, and I've heard that argument all season from folks who have said, well, you just got to play him. You just got to play him. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I went down this road once before with Paxton Lynch. I don't want to do this again. This notion that, well, you got him, you got to play him. Well, what if he's not earning the minutes? What if he's not being professional? What if he's being the last guy in, the first guy? Doesn't matter. You just got to play him. No, you don't.
Right.
It's incumbent upon the athlete to earn and to work in a way where you earn the minutes. So, is that, by the way, does that qualify?
I
think that qualifies.
I've got a little point of
view. That extends it. Day number 2033.
I've got a point of order, though.
Yeah, we got Mike Lisway today.
You kind of smeared Michael Porter Jr.
by comparing
associating him to Paxton Lynch.
No, No. I was smearing the Michael Porter Jr. fans out there who say, "Well, you just got to play him no matter what."
Right.
Because that's the same thing I heard with Paxton. So those are the folks I'm smearing.
Okay. All right. I'm going to let it slide because Mike, listen, I would probably go deeper in an argument with you here.
We can revisit that, certainly.
Yes.
I'm sure we will. I'm sure you'll bring it up. Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco insider, joins us on the Fireball Hotline. See what you've waded into, Mike. Good morning.
Hey, I stay up, Porter Jr.
Hey, all right. So I got to start off with the Broncos. Where do we go from here, Mike? Where do we go? Like, you know, we ignored this tackle issue that we knew was going to be an issue. We knew we weren't going to,
you know, we're going to pick up the fifth-year option at Garrett Bowles. We knew that Juwan James had an injury issue and didn't play last year. Elijah Wilkinson coming off a foot injury, swing tackle, shouldn't be a starter. Where do we go from here?
Well, where you go is Elijah Wilkinson's going to be a starter at right tackle, as he was last year for the injured Juwan James. I think you'll see the Broncos try to pick up a veteran swing tackle that can play both sides. And that's where they go from there. And then remember, guys, Drew Lock has good mobility. So, you know, no panic here.
Yeah, nothing to see.
I'm glad you're not panicking.
Any possibility that they take a guy like Dalton Risner or Glasgow and move him to tackle?
You know, I suppose. I mean, this is just that's not the plan right now. You know, all those type of things. You know, with Dalton Risner, they drafted him. They looked at him and with the idea of moving him to guard. And he did pretty well there. I think they're going to keep. I think they want to keep Risner there. Glasgow's played a little tackle. He's played all over, but he's more interior guy. You know, you don't want to do to him what they did to Ron Leary, which was, you know, pay him all that money and then shift him to a different position. In Leary's case, I think it was moving him from left guard to right guard. You know, that first year to accommodate Max Garcia. I think, you know, Elijah Wilkinson played 12 games last year, and I know he struggled there as well. In fact, you know, there's some people out there that great offensive linemen, Pro Football Focus, Garrett Bowles graded much higher than Elijah Wilkinson did. Bowles got, you know, he was, received the vitriol of the Bronco fan base because of all the holding penalties, and really rightfully so. He's got to knock that off. But Elijah Wilkinson gave up a lot more sacks. So, yeah, it's a tough deal. You know, you wouldn't. But the problem, guys, goes back to when they signed Juwan James. That's the problem. They made him the highest paid tackle, $27 million over 2 years. $10 million now gets pushed back to 2021. And I'm not sure you want Juwan James at $10 million next year, by the way, after missing two consecutive years. I mean, that doesn't sound like much of an upgrade. So, you know, they got to look. I think inside the Broncos building right now, they're looking back and saying, what did they miss? What could they have done different? Why did they sign this guy when, and you know, the COVID decision is they're kind of separating. They respect that. That's a personal decision. They understand a guy doesn't want to play football in the midst of a virus pandemic. But overall, you know, this guy, you know, you have to question how much this guy has wanted to play football with the knee injury last year and now opting out. So, I think they're disappointed in the overall signing as opposed to merely the fact that he opted out.
I was pretty critical of Vic Fangio even last year when he said, hey, he's been cleared to play. Juwan James has been cleared to play, but he's not, you know, physically or emotionally ready, to which I said, you're basically calling him soft, and you can't do that. I mean, you can say it behind closed doors, but you can't do it publicly. Juwan James actually addressed it, saying there's been a false narrative that was painted about me last year due to comments about my injury. How much do you think that has to do with him opting out of this season?
I mean, I don't think it does. I think it was strictly a matter of, as far as his decision to opt out, a little context here. I had heard that Juwan James had been thinking of opting out for the last 2 or 3 weeks. And, you know, he just was concerned. First, he put out a tweet. If you go back like a July 19th, he put out a tweet that there's no protocols in place. You know, we want to, you know, I have a son that was born in May. So his son is 2.5 months old. I think that was maybe a factor. He had a family member that came up with COVID that apparently had a real battle there. That affected him, his decision. I don't think the Fangio comments had anything to do. I think he probably didn't like that, and he even admitted he didn't like that. I think he also admitted that Bronco fans aren't too pleased with him right now. At least he was candid enough to mention that in his statement. But, you know, while, you know, Mark, what you said, whether Fangio should have done that or not, that's definitely fair. But I think, you know, the virus by itself was what Juwan was talking about. What, you know, he said in that tweet on July 19th, we want to play. You know, he did the hashtag that was going around. Well, the Broncos, you know, because the protocols weren't in place. Well, the Broncos definitely put a mountain list of protocols in place to the point where they get the that hand sanitizer, that full body hand sanitizer before they go on the field.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it's as safe as possible. And he still decided he didn't want to play. And, you know, that's just out of fear of contracting the virus when he has, you know, when he has his newborn child. And I think maybe another family member might also have a precondition type of deal. So,
Mike, can we go back to, really quickly, I want to go back to the draft and the time before the draft and the idea that, was there any sniff, was there any inkling out there among NFL teams that these opt-outs could be a possibility down the road? Because if there was even a sniff of it, it further calls into question the wisdom of not drafting a tackle in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, free agency, you couldn't go get one because you had so much money tied into Juwan James. You know, when you sign, that's the deal, guys. When you sign Juwan James to that type of contract, you are living with Juwan James for 2 years. And now you got to figure out for 3 years what to do with Juwan James when you sign him to that kind of meal. You can't trade him away. No one's going to take him for that money. So you had to count on Juwan James. When going back to the draft, everyone wanted to draft a tackle to play left tackle for Garrett Bowles. I think the Broncos in the draft, what happened was they did like, I think they really liked Austin Thomas, the guy from Georgia. And, you know, he might have been in play had Thomas been there at number 15, but of course he wasn't. He went way earlier than that. But after that, they saw a bunch of right tackles in the second round. Ezra Cleveland was more of that, the Kubiak type guy. And, you know, they didn't like the guys in the second round because they were right tackles, and they felt like they had a right tackle in Juwan James. So here we are. You know, it's they were counting on Juwan James playing this year. Elway had heard a couple weeks ago that Juwan James might opt out, and he looked into it, and he called his agent and was told that Juwan's planning on playing. Everything the Broncos had heard is that Juwan James was planning on playing. You know, you got to adjust. You know, Belichick's got 8 guys that opted out. I'm sure he wasn't planning on that. It's a different kind of year, and we'll see how it turns out. But yes, there's now some concerns there at both tackle positions going into the season.
All right. Mike, as always, appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco Insider on the Fireball Hotline. Coming up next, what does this James debacle say about the way that John Elway has handled the offensive line during his tenure? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.